Burlington, Vermont. With 57 trails, 7 lifts, gentle learning terrain, smooth cruisers, and classically narrow New England steeps, even the most selective skiers and riders will be impressed. Buy your lift tickets at PicoMountain.com. And with just a day's planning, you'll save big. Find discounts up to 40% off window rates, unlimited ticket changes, and convenient pickup. Get your gear ready and head to PicoMountain.com.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Thank you, Jim Conner. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. We're broadcasting live this morning at the State House in Montpelier. Day one of the 2015-2016 legislative session. We got a full lineup of guests joining us on the program this morning. Later this hour, we'll talk with the head of the Republican Party in the House, Representative Don Turner. We'll also be joined by the Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott. At the top of the hour, at 10 o'clock, Governor Shumlin will join us. He has some advice on the cold weather that's coming up. We'll slip in a question or two while we have him here as well. And also in our second hour this morning, we'll talk with Representative Chris Pearson as well, too. We begin the program. We'd love to hear from you on the program. Don't hesitate to call us when we're out on the road. It's just the same phone call for you. You can reach us at 244-1777. That's our local number in Central Vermont. And you can also reach us on our toll-free lines at 877-291-8255. We begin this morning. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to the Speaker of the House, Shap Smith. Mr. Speaker, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning? Quite a day here, huh?
It is really exciting, particularly for the new members, but even for those of us who've been around for a while. Sort of the hustle and bustle around the first day of the session is pretty exciting.
So give us an idea. What happens today?
So there'll be a call of the roll of representatives by the Secretary of State, and everybody who's seated will respond that they're there. And then it will proceed immediately to the election of the Speaker of the House. And then we move on, to the election of the Clerk of the House. And then we'll try to get the committee assignments done today.
Let's talk about the committees. Any changes in chairmanships that you can share with us?
We have a number of new chairs this year. Mitzi Johnson will be the new chair of Appropriations. Dave Sharp will be the chair of Education. Bill Lippert is going to be the chair of Healthcare, and Maxine Grad is going to be the chair of Judiciary.
Their big change was in the middle of last month, the governor announcing that he wasn't going to go forward with a single-payer plan. So how does that change this session?
In some ways, it changes it significantly. In some ways, it doesn't at all. I mean, the reality is that we had a number of issues that we were going to have to focus on this year. And healthcare was going to be one of them, but not the only one. You know, what we heard from Vermonters this past fall was that they're worried. They're feeling the pinch. There's a certain uneasiness out there from a pocketbook standpoint. And they are concerned about their jobs. They're concerned about the cost of education. And they're concerned about the cost of their health care. And those are issues that are going to be front and center as we approach the session this year.
You said on my program a couple of weeks back when we were talking about property taxes that you didn't feel as though Vermont was spending too much money on education.
I think that it's appropriate if we want to be the state that provides the best education in the country, and I think that should be our goal. We have to acknowledge that that's going to cost some money. You know, what I've said in the past is I don't think that we should spend much more than we're already spending. I think that we're probably at a place where we can be. And we just have to make sure that that money that we have now is being spent wisely and is leveraging the best results. But I think Vermonters are saying, hey, we can't really pay any more.
But should Vermont be spending less, like many people think?
We could if we were willing to say, hey, we're going to have fewer schools, fewer teachers, fewer programs. I think that we could spend less. But, you know, at the local level, and when you talk to local communities, those discussions are very hard. And many Vermonters feel like they don't want to have fewer schools or fewer teachers or fewer programs. And that's the tension that we have to deal with, is this feeling among many people in Vermont that we're paying either too much or we're paying as much as we can, and those who feel like we want to have as many teachers as we can, who can provide the best services to our kids.
I know you went out and tried to get input from people, and I know you got a lot of reaction back. So how are you going to boil it down so you have one proposal, or are you going to not do that?
Well, I think that what we're going to do is look at this as a two-year challenge. I know that there's urgency around it, so if we can move something this year, that's great. But I think I will look at the proposals through in a couple of buckets. One bucket is financing reform. One bucket is how we're spending the money. And then the third bucket is how are we delivering the education, and what is the quality of that delivery. And so I'm looking forward to working through all of those proposals. We got about 75 or 80 different responses. You know, one of the things that was really heartening to me is I put out a call to Vermonters to, you know, basically put in their proposals about how they think that the system can be fixed. And people answered that. And that's a beautiful thing about Vermont, is that the government is that accessible. And I'm looking forward to following up with people who submitted those proposals. Dave Sharp will take the lead as the chair of the Education Committee. But we're going to work hard on this issue this year.
Tomorrow will be the election of the governor. There seems to be some confusion out there. This is a secret ballot?
My understanding is the election is by ballot. I must admit that I haven't looked at the law around whether it's secret. My understanding is it's treated the same way that a ballot that you would cast at the ballot box would be treated. And for most Vermonters, they consider that to be secret.
Okay. There's been a call by Vermont Digger to have people announce what their vote is. What do you think about that?
I think that's up to the individual representatives. I'm very comfortable telling my constituents how I'm going to vote, and have done so on a number of occasions, and I've gotten some feedback on that. But, you know, I think that's a decision by individual members about what they want to do.
There have been a number of stories in the past couple of weeks since the governor made his announcement about dropping the single-payer idea that either say quite directly or indirectly that, in essence, he loaded up the plan and made it so expensive that it would die. What do you make of that theory?
You know, I don't think that it's my place to cast aspersions on the governor. You know, there are different actuarial values you could have looked at for the benefit plan to figure out a financing package. They chose the one that they did for a particular reason. And, you know,
does it make sense?
I think that they were trying to capture something that would make sense from their perspective, and model something where it wouldn't put too much of the burden back on Vermonters for cost sharing. And that was a decision that they made. And my sense is that even if you had lowered the actuarial value, probably the numbers would have been very high and would have had some of the same concerns. So, you know, whether it's a 94% actuarial value or an 80% actuarial value, the numbers were going to be high.
Carbon tax, you see that going anywhere in the legislature?
I would expect that there'll be some testimony taken on the Natural Resources and Energy Committee, but I don't expect it to go anywhere.
What about the sugar sweetened tax?
I've always had some concerns about the sugar-sweetened beverage tax, and here's why. It's the same concerns that I have about the cigarette tax. If you're going to raise a revenue source to support programs, you shouldn't actually identify a revenue that is actually slated to decline if it does what you want it to do. So the sugar-sweetened beverage tax is meant to encourage people to stop buying sugar-sweetened beverages. And so if it's meeting its goal, what you have is an immediately declining revenue source. And then you've built a program on that. And I have some real concerns about that. So I wouldn't be a big fan of raising that for programs that will continue over time.
Let's talk about an issue that you raised shortly after the election in a discussion we had. And I don't know whether or not you just had a bad day or what was going on, but you came out with this idea and were very direct that you wanted to see compulsory and mandatory voting in the state of Vermont, and if people didn't vote, they get fined. Was that the worst idea you've come up with, or?
I don't know if it's the worst, but it actually counts as one of the most unpopular, and I've come up with some pretty unpopular ideas. So, you know, I think that we're all frustrated with the fact that voters feel so disengaged that they're not participating in the democratic system. Where that came from, as I was talking to Justin Johnson, who I think is either from Australia or New Zealand, where they have mandatory voting. And he and I had been talking about it, and he said, hey, you know, they've got 90 to 95% participation. And I threw it out there. I must admit that compulsory voting is not something I'm interested in pushing. But you definitely caught me. I made some news, at least, you know, and most of the time I don't make news. So I figure I gave you something to talk about for the next hour.
Well, and it wasn't like I grilled you into it. You just kind of blurted it out.
I was very tired that day. But yeah, so I don't think we'll see a compulsory voting bill move anytime soon. And I certainly will not be the person who's introducing it.
There every year you come back here, at least since you've been speaker, since I've been coming down here, there's a gap of X millions of dollars. This year it's a triple digit number, which seems higher than normal. Every year you guys seem to pull this off. What about this year? Can you give me some sort of sense of the depth of the problem?
We clearly have a structural challenge on our hands, and it has been a structural challenge, quite frankly, since I've been here, so probably 14 years, or 12 years, it'll be 14 after
when
I finish,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that the challenge right now is bigger than over the last couple of years. I've talked to some of my colleagues from other states. They're seeing declines in their income tax revenues as well. But even in states where there have been big structural changes, like Wisconsin, they're facing a $2 billion challenge for their next budget. So I don't think it's unique to Vermont, but I think it reflects the fact that the benefits of an improving economy are not widely shared. And so we're having some challenges around the revenues that are coming in.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Let's go to Barry. Pete, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Mark, and good morning, Mr. Smith. A moment ago, you were talking about, you're continuing to talk about revenues and that sort of thing. And during the past year, there was talk about the highway fund, the federal highway fund anyway, getting really depleted. Is there any talk in this upcoming legislature to bring up gas tax and earmark it for roads and bridges and such? I'll get off the line and wait for the answer.
Thank you, Pete.
Okay. Well, thanks. That's a really good question, and we're watching very carefully what's happening down in Washington. You know, one of the things about Vermont that I've been really proud to participate in the last couple of years is we've looked at the challenges that we've had around transportation revenue, and we have pulled together on a tripartisan basis to address that. We've had to raise the gas tax, and that decision has actually allowed us to draw enough revenue down from the federal government that we've been able to put some of the biggest amounts of transportation money into our road infrastructure over the last couple of years. And so, you know, I don't think that we're going to be looking at a gas tax this year. We definitely need to see Washington figure out how they're going to deal with the Highway Trust Fund. And what I'm really concerned about is they're going to just keep kicking the can down the road, and at some point in time just say, well, we can't solve it, and hand it back to the states. And that would be a huge problem for Vermont.
You talked about this sort of structural budget problem where the growth in state spending has been about 5%. Growth in the economy has been more like about 3%. So, and there have been critics of the legislature who've said all along, you guys are spending too much, this is unsustainable, yet things seem to continue. So any second thoughts, any regrets? Were they right?
I think that you can always Monday morning quarterback what's happened in the past. And we've certainly had some challenges in our budget years. We are going to have a very tough cycle this year. We're going to have to make some tough decisions. I think we're going to have to say, hey, what are we doing that's making a difference in Vermonters' lives? And if we're spending money that doesn't seem to be making a difference in Vermonters' lives, then maybe we shouldn't spend that money anymore.
Last question. Constitutional amendment. You support a constitutional amendment to change the election system?
What, for a compulsory voting?
Yeah, we could throw that in. You know, you could have a 40% threshold for the governor and mandatory. Yeah. I mean, Bill Doyle always seems to throw something in on these.
Yeah,
proposals.
No, so I haven't actually heard, I haven't looked at the constitutional amendment that Senator Doyle has talked about, but what I heard this morning made some sense, and I could support that, yep.
The idea of having a 40% threshold.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, thank you for your time, as
all
always.
Right. Thanks, Todd. Soon.
Speaker of the House, Shaf Smith, joining us here live at the State House in Montpelier. Our number's on the program, 244-1777. That's our local number, and toll-free, you can reach us at 877-291-8255. We're going to talk with Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott here in just a moment. Let me take a moment of your time for our friends at Jet Service Envelope. If you're looking for a great local hometown company to get your printing done with, make it our friends at the Jet. You can call them today at 229-9335 and on the web at jetservice-envelope.com. It's coming nice from our warm Radio Vermont. Welcome this morning to the Lieutenant Governor, Phil Scott. Lieutenant Governor, good morning. Thanks
good
for joining
morning,
us.
Mark.
How are you?
I'm great.
So tomorrow you're going to be laying out, you have a whole event planned where you're going to be talking about economic development, talking about jobs. Some interpretation that this is the kickoff of 2016, Phil Scott for governor.
Yeah, well, it's actually today, Mark.
I'm sorry. Today. Sorry.
4 o'clock, 4 to 7, just, Capitol Plaza.
I was just testing.
Economy pitch.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's more about what I've been talking about for the last two or three years. And
you know, there's actually enough going on tomorrow that today would be a better day for you to do it.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
Okay.
So, day one, priority one, we think the economy is something that we've maybe neglected a little bit over the last few years, and it's something that we need to pay attention to so that we all get what we want. And that's additional deriving revenues from a better economy, the growth of the economy, more jobs, and bringing more people here and staying and choosing to live in Vermont.
So what's this event going to do that's going to make that happen?
We don't know. You know, it's a cross between speed dating and Shark Tank, the show, where we're going to give 12 to 15 organizations, businesses within the organizations, 5 minutes to pitch the legislators that are there about what they see as issues that need to be addressed or suggestions about what we can do better. And if we can get one or two or three ideas, themes out of that, I think it'll be a success.
I was just talking with the speaker, who, of course, has been putting a focus on property tax reform. You talked about it during the campaign, too. You had this idea that you threw out there about having an education leader similar to what's going on with the Green Mountain Care Board and a board that would help regulate the cost of education. Have you explored that any further?
Haven't done much with it. I thought the speaker has pretty much laid out that they are going to be concentrating on property tax reform, education reform. I'd like to see what they come out with. And again, from my standpoint, if I believe in local control, I think that we do better when we have some control of that on the local level. But the reality is we don't have that, and there are a lot of pressures being put on the local school boards and so forth that they can't get a grip on. So we'll see what they come up with. We'll see what the speaker has in mind, but their focus has been about the formula, and I think that we have to address the spending side simultaneously.
Back to this event this afternoon. Do you really think you're going to hear anything new?
I don't know. You know, I think what we'll do is maybe not, but maybe there will be. Maybe there'll be, like I said, two or three things that the light bulb comes on and says, you know, that makes a lot of sense. If we could do this one little thing, that might help these organizations do better. And you know, I think it's worth the risk. I mean, there's no risk. It's about hearing, listening. I think the last election, if nothing else, was about the disconnect between Vermonters and the legislature. And I think that this is one step in the process to listening to what our businesses, what Vermonters have to say, and addressing those issues.
Reporters have been looking at the paperwork that the governor put out in defense of his decision to drop the single payer, suggesting he may have really loaded up the plan, made it a plan that was so rich and expensive that it couldn't possibly happen. What do you think of that theory?
Well, I'm just happy that we've come to some conclusion. As we talked about during the campaign, over the last two or three years, there's been this level of uncertainty throughout Vermont about what direction we're moving in. And I think it has had a negative effect on the economy, especially over the last year or so. Businesses just don't know what they're going to be facing in the future in terms of what type of taxes to support this single-payer concept. And so I think that level of uncertainty has led to businesses saying, you know, we're going to wait and see what happens. And so coming to a conclusion was something that I had asked for, I think that we deserved, and I'm just happy that we've come to some decision.
You're pretty close with the governor, though. Do you think that it was a strategy on his part to make this plan so expensive that it couldn't work?
I would have a hard time believing that because I think that he truly does believe in the concept. I would have to venture to say that he wanted it to succeed. That was going to be his legacy, and I think the failure on the part of that becoming a reality is going to become part of his legacy.
You're the presider over the Vermont Senate. You'll be presiding over this joint session tomorrow, where the governor will get elected. What's your feeling about Scott Milne's decision to not concede and take this race to tomorrow?
Well, again, I don't think it was his decision to make. Whether he concedes or not, we're going to have this vote. So I think it was a strategy on his part, and I might argue that maybe it's a good strategy. I think it's been healthy to have this debate, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I think that it was his prerogative, and it was a very close election, and he didn't have to concede for us to do our work.
Should this system be changed?
I think we should take a look at it. I think the threshold might, I've heard some advocate for a different threshold. I think that might have some merit. I think Senator Doyle is going to have a bill, constitutional change in the next week or so. So I think it's worth taking a look at and looking at how we do things and how we operate, and if we can change the Constitution to make things better, to address the realities of what we're facing today, I think that's fine.
Secret ballot tomorrow?
It's a written ballot, which in turn could be secret. I mean, anybody could open their ballot and show it to the world. So,
Do you think people should do that?
If they would like to, I think that they should. I have nothing to hide. If I had my ballot, I would show it. I don't have to hide behind that. But again, it's the Constitution. It's something in the Constitution. It says by ballot. that has been interpreted over the last couple of hundred years as being written. And if that's a secret ballot, then that's what it is. And if we want to change that, I would argue that we should go through the process and change that as well. You can do that in the same fashion as the threshold.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free, 877-291-8255. And I'm sorry, we go to Plainfield, and I'll say good morning.
Good morning. As always, I love your show, and you do such a wonderful job of informing everybody of what is going on. And I have a couple of comments. One of them is that I would really love to see all of the representatives down in Montpelier take and vote the way their communities voted. And because they're the ones that put them in the office, and they're there to represent them. And I hope they follow through and do that. The other thing is that has to go back to what the Speaker of the House said, and that is when we always do what we've always done, we always get what we always got. And I hope they remember that, because it is time for something to change, because everybody I know is moving out of the state. And they're being forced to, because they can't afford to live here. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Well, getting back to the first thing, the affordability issue is something that I talked a lot about during the campaign. And that's why when I talk about the growth of the economy and trying to lead to a more prosperous state, that's what I'm seeing as well. I've gone throughout the state. A number of people are working two and three jobs just trying to pay their property taxes and just, you know, fulfill their responsibilities at home. And it's getting to be a burden. So I think that's why the economy pitch idea, the priority one, day one concept with vision to action is something that we want to do, because we want to, if we can all agree that a better, more vibrant economy is going to help all of us, then let's all work towards that. So I can understand that. The other is the question about how you vote. And there was a good article, I think, in Digger the other day, and it talked about, you know, whether you're a delegate or a trustee.
Right.
And I thought that made a lot of sense. And you know, just like in true Vermont fashion, I think we're a little bit of both. And you have to suffer the consequences of your actions, your votes. And I think it's interesting that Marion Milne was mentioned. Marion took a stance on civil union. That cost her seat.
Right.
But she did that because she thought that's what was right, and she stood by that, and I never heard her complain about that, but it was just a reaction afterwards. So she was acting, I think, as a trustee at that point, not as a delegate.
And you're prepared if there's an event like 43 or 63, where they had 60 votes and...
63
and then they
times.
They put in the lieutenant governor because everybody needed to go home.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah,
got a speech all ready to go.
Yes, I do.
Got a cabinet all ready to go.
I do.
Do you think Scott Milne would be prepared to be governor if he got elected tomorrow?
I think so. I think with his management skills and being in business as long as he has, I think that there's a lot of help out there, and I think that he could make a go of it.
Can you explain to people out there listening in English how deep the $100 million problem is?
Well, again, it's a big, major, $100 million is a lot of money. But if you put it in perspective, we have to look at what we've done over the last 5 to 10 years. Our budget, overall budget, has grown hundreds of millions of dollars. So while it's a lot of money, it's something that I think we can address, and we're going to have to address. The one-time money that we receive is gone. There is no emergency security blanket out there for us, and so the reality is we have to address it, and I think we can. There's ways to do that. We passed the budget last year, and I remember everyone saying this is, you know, right down to the bones. There's no extra money here, and then 2 weeks into our fiscal year, there's a revenue downturn, and we made cuts of $30 million.
Okay.
So it's doable.
All right. Can you give me just an idea or two? I mean, because this is a lot of money.
Yeah, but again, our budget is $5 billion.
But, you know, Ziegler wrote this story, and I thought Ann Galloway did a nice job on it, talking about where there's actually discretion. I mean, you know, like in our house, the bank isn't going to, if the revenue's down, the bank isn't going to take less. The electric company doesn't take less.
That's right.
And the same thing happens in state government. They're actually, her analysis of it is that you would have to cut a quarter of discretionary spending in order to get the $100 million.
Well, again, we'll see. I think that we have some great people that we're prepared to put on the money committees that are going to tackle this problem, and I'm sure, I'm confident we'll come to some conclusion on this. We again have to just face the reality, though. We can't spend more than we're taking in.
Carbon tax, is that DOA?
As far as I'm concerned, it is.
Do you think you get any sense there's any support for it, even among Democrats?
I think there's some support, but overall, I look at the affordability issues of the state, and that doesn't, from my standpoint, doesn't rise to the level of importance in terms of trying to address the affordability issues that we face.
What about a tax on soda? Same thing.
I don't think that it justifies the means. I don't know what the end result is. I know that there's been many that have said, you know, putting a tax on that, and we can put that towards health care and so forth. I don't know where you stop. You know, whether it's sugar, tax on soda. You know, I've mentioned before, are we going to tax Ben and Jerry's as well? I mean, that's ice cream is something, anything, potato chips. Where do you really stop?
And there's also, so do you think that this $100 million can be done without raising taxes?
I do.
Really?
I do.
Wow. I mean, that's going to be...
We took care of $30 million without raising taxes.
All right. And then you got to do another three times that on top of it.
Well, you know, we're going back again, and I should look at this all a little closer. The $30 million correction, I'm not sure if that was part of the base or not. We may have already done the $30 million, and that may continue. So it might be another 60 or 70. So we should look into that. I'll have to talk to the Appropriations Committee about that.
How is this event going to happen again this afternoon? So who are some of the business people you're inviting to the speed dating?
Businesses for Social Responsibility. We've asked organizations to pick people from within their structure. So if there's a business, the Chamber of Commerce, Lake Champlain Chamber, the usual type of suspects, the ag community, and others. So we're going to have them come in and to make their pitch. They picked that. I don't know who they are exactly, but I know the organizations.
Let's go to Montpelier. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. One thing I'd like to bring to this speaker's attention is the Obama and previously Bush tax breaks that wealthy Vermonters see $190 million a year cash benefit from and have since 2004 seems to be considered a completely out of bounds to even talk about taxing. And why is that off the table? Is Vermont really lacking the vision? Yesterday, Jerry Brown dug the first ceremonial shovelful on the high-speed link between San Francisco and Los Angeles. California has had horrible financial trouble for decades, but they're pulling out of it. They've got the vision. You know, this state seems to be, has pulled back in on itself in such a way that we're not even talking about what's possible anymore. We're only talking about what exists in a narrow frame. I'd like to have your guest comment on that, please.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Well, again, I would contend that we've raised our budget hundreds of millions of dollars over the last 5 to 10 years. And in terms of vision, we've borrowed as much money as we think is proper. We have a committee that takes a look at how far we can stretch ourselves in terms of borrowing every year. We borrow money for the capital bill to make these investments in the infrastructure. Can we do more? Sure. But it's there's only so much here, though. And again, we only have so much revenue. The economy is what it is at this point. And that's why I keep saying, you know, let's improve on our economy. Let's grow the economy in a way that would allow us to spend more money in certain. I'd rather have the fight about where we're going to spend all this money. And we've had those fights in the past when we had more revenue than we had anticipated. So there was that I guess the waterfall is what it was called. So
right.
If there was more money than we expected, we'd spend it on this. And I'd love to have those conversations rather than the ones we're having today. But the reality is, again, we only have a certain amount of people. When I travel the state, they're feeling as though they're being they're taxed to the max now, especially with property taxes. And I think we have to address one thing at a time.
Do you think most of the future job growth comes from outside of Vermont, jobs coming in, or jobs growing within?
I think it's both. I think that we need to take care of the businesses that are here. We need to foster growth there. But also, I think there's new industry, the 21st century type jobs, the dealer.coms and so forth. I think what we've heard, I was with the governor when we heard from the new owners of the IBM facility. I think the future might be bright there, and I'm hoping that we can foster that as well, because they're talking about if everything goes right, that maybe there will be some more jobs, more opportunities, and growth in that sector. So that the ripple effect of that could be significant.
You know, you talk about affordability, and I wonder whether or not there's a price that we all pay living here in Vermont to have sort of this. And I don't want to say it's a fantasy land, but this kind of idyllic world we live in. For example, there could be a lot of revenue that came into this state and to farmers and to the state if we allow billboards.
Right.
And there's a cost to that.
Right.
So shouldn't we accept that as a cost of our kind of that you understand?
But,
what
yeah,
I, mean.
I do. But we have to survive at the same time. There's a cost. But at the same time, we don't want to turn this into a state just for the rich and famous. You know, we all, the rest of us have to live here, too. And we want to live here, and we have to survive without assistance from everyone else. Give us the dignity to live on our own without being taxed so much that it deprives us of that dignity. And that's the answer. And it's a balance. And we all, you know, I stayed here. I grew up here. I want to stay here. You pay the price, you know, for what we accept is normal. And we'll continue with that.
How are you going to deal with everybody, not just me, asking you the 2016 question?
I think we need to get through at least the next year or so and put the economy back on track, address some of these affordability questions, property taxes, and so forth. I think that's what we need to be talking about, and that's what I'm going to be focused on.
Let's take a call from Middlebury. Ellen, good morning. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, I still am not clear about, you know, the big question about taxes on those of us who earn more, earn a lot more, have great jobs here, and certainly are not going to leave the state if there's like an increase in the marginal tax rate. You know, I know a bunch of people, high income earners, wrote a letter to the governor several years ago saying, you know, we're not going to leave. You know, I know that there's always that thing that people are going to leave the state if you raise the marginal tax rate, you know, above a certain income. And those are people who have great jobs here, so they're not leaving, right? And so I didn't get a good answer. I thought somebody called in with a question, but I'm still not clear about that. And I'm a little befuddled as to why that wouldn't be a piece of the mix. I know that's not going to raise everything for your $100 million. But, you know, there's a bunch of us who are doing well, and we're doing well here. So I guess that's
okay.
My question.
Let me thank you.
Well, you can send your contributions to... what I'm worried about is the people I see. I see them at the gas station, at the corner store, and I had somebody there in the last couple of weeks, and somebody I've known for a long time, grew up in Barrie, lifelong Vermonter, and said, I just can't do it anymore. I'm leaving. It's 3 weeks. We've sold our house. We're moving to North Carolina. We just can't do it anymore. And those are the people I'm worried about. And the those that are doing well and making more money, There's a finite amount of them as well, and I don't think we can raise it all on the backs of them, because, you know, some people make decisions about where they live, not maybe just for 6 months out of the year. But they can live in Florida or someplace else and pay taxes in Florida and have their second home here and appear that they're living here. And so you can't push them out either. We need them. We need them here. We need their ideas. We need their capital. We need them to grow businesses. We need it all to work. So I don't think we I think we're taxing everyone appropriately. We have the most progressive income tax in the country, I believe. I think we're doing all right from that standpoint. We just need more of it. We need more growth.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back. We're broadcasting live here at the State House in Montpelier. This is WDEV AM and FM.
Yo, and I bring you good news from the Aqua Lair at One Stop Country Pet Supply. Me, Lenny, and Oscar have been waiting for yous to show up so we could talk about the fantastic aquatics that'll be happening here at the store all month long.
Can I tell them, Tank? Can I please?
Don't get your fins all in a twist there, Lenny.
Yeah, Lenny, what Tank said.
All month long, we'll be having sales on a variety of aquarium-related items. Each week, there will be a new sale. And we're starting with filters. Purchase a select Aquian Quiet Flow filter between January 2nd and 8th. Get a 20 or 29 gallon Aquion fish tank absolutely free.
Can I tell them they can save on gravel and decorations too?
New aquatic items go on sale every Friday through the month of January, so don't swim too far away.
Come see us during January for super savings on all things aquatic. This week, buy a filter, get a tank free. One Stop Country Pet Supply, Brattleboro and Barrie, Vermont, and in the center at Colony Mill, Key, New Hampshire. Open every day.
What's up, son? Other than you?
Hey, Moon. It's been crazy. Now that so many people are using my energy to heat their homes, power their lives, and fuel their cars, I'm working from sunup to sundown.
Oh, you better be careful not to burn out.
Well, that's highly unlikely. I produce like a zillion megawatts, and I've got a few billion years of power left in me. So what about you, Moon? What's new?
I don't know. I still see the odd high-jumping cow every now and then, but it seems like everything new is under the sun. In Vermont alone, thousands of households are currently tapping your power to generate electricity.
SunCommon helps Vermonters go solar with no upfront costs and a low fixed monthly payment. And with the best solar panels provided by industry leader SunPower, heating your home with solar power has never made more sense. Energy from the sun is clean, reliable, affordable, and SunCommon makes it easy to save money and go solar. Check out suncommon.com.
Hey, where are you and the kids going with your sneakers?
I'm headed to First & Fitness to use the $150 gift I got with signing up for a year membership.
First & Fitness gave you a $150 gift for joining?
Yeah, I'm using mine for childcare so I can enjoy my workout without worrying. Plus, when you join, kids 10 and under get a free pool membership.
Wow, I've been dying to get a personal trainer to help me get motivated. Could I use my $150 gift for that?
You bet. And lots of other great services, too. My friend Sue is using hers for swim lessons for her son. And my mom is getting her own locker and towel service. Or use your gift for TRX group training or dual club membership.
But isn't there a big enrollment fee?
No, First & Fitness lowered it to just $20.
I'm glad I ran into you. I'm heading to First & Fitness to join now.
Visit First & Fitness in Montpelier and Berlin and take advantage of this special offer, good for a limited time.
All right, we're back broadcasting live this morning at the State House in Montpelier. We'll be back here again tomorrow. And again, we'll be there on be here on Friday. Tomorrow will be the election of the governor, as you know, because no candidate received 50% of the vote on election day. The race will go to the legislature. The 180 lawmakers making the decision coming up tomorrow. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to the Assistant Minority Leader, Republican Brian Savage, is joining us. Brian, thanks for joining us. How are you this morning?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I'm very well, thank you. I'm ready to get to work here.
So what is the hope and the goal of the Republican Party in the next 2 years here in the session?
Well, certainly,
with your relatively small numbers, you gained a few, but still, clearly you're in the minority.
We gained a net of 8 seats. We retained all but one of the seats when we had some retirements. I believe we have 12 freshmen now coming in this morning. Our goal is to do the work that our constituents have said to us loud and clear. Education, reform, taxes, which are, I always say, married at the hip, jobs and economic opportunities. We also have serious concerns with Lake Champlain, as well as the other waterways that are part of the Lake Champlain Basin. Those are all very serious things, and the economy and job growth. We're losing jobs. Quite a number of businesses are leaving or have left. Our young people are leaving. They leave out of college and they go to other parts of the country. So those are all areas, and that's our goal, is to work on those and to try to, we can't work miracles in 2 years, but we can at least get the groundwork laid and try to stem the flow, if you would. So our hopes are that we will be successful and certainly provide some of the relief that the taxpayers of Vermont are looking for.
Were you happy the governor dropped the single payer plan?
I personally am, yes. I knew from the outset that it was just going to be too expensive, that we would not be able to afford it. And certainly too ambitious. I think it is something, if we are going to go with single payer, really should be something on the national level. One small state shouldn't be going it alone.
Vermonters are still going to have to come up with that $2.6 billion, whether it's a single payer plan or what we currently have. Is there any ideas that you or your party have in working on medical costs?
Well, we do have, we've had a plan since last year. We haven't rolled out, and I'm still not at liberty to give the details of that. However, as the weeks proceed here, we will probably be tweaking it and then looking to roll it out.
What would the goal of it be?
Well, to stabilize the cost, provide coverage for Vermonters, not a single payer program per se, but it would be kind of to do a better resource for the people of Vermont and make Vermont Health Connect a little bit easier with which to do business.
Maybe go with the federal plan?
That is, you know, maybe a possibility, yes. You know, there certainly needs to be a discussion, and the discussion is long overdue.
And what's the role that your party's going to play in the discussion about property tax reform?
Well, that, of course, comes in. I believe you cannot have property tax reform until we have education reform. The education and the state property tax is solely for education. Last year there was a very late attempt for education reform. It was way too late into the session. It was too rushed, and it basically pitted large districts against small districts. Hopefully we can go about this better this year. And I should say this session, because we really can't rush it through. It has to be well thought, and if it takes the both years of the session to get there, so be it. We do need to the spending and the taxes are both out of control, so we're looking forward to a very good discussion. And we've heard from the administration a 2 cent rate increase on the state property tax rate. However, on November the 19th, our caucus had heard from JFO that we were looking at a 4 or 5 cent rate increase for the forthcoming fiscal year, as well as the following fiscal year, another 4 or 5 cent. So, I mean, obviously something needs to be done.
We're talking with Representative Brian Savage. He's the Assistant Minority Leader. And in that job, one of your jobs, I know, is to be the vote counter here in Republicans. So what are your fellow Republicans going to do tomorrow in the vote for the governor? Have you done a head count? How many?
We have not done a head count. We are leaving it to their choice. I think most of our caucus have probably stated that they are who they're going to vote for, but that's their prerogative. I do know that we will have some whose district elected Governor Shumlin, and that those individuals will be casting their votes for Governor Shumlin. My particular district voted overwhelmingly for Mr. Milne, as did most of Franklin County. The last I knew, we had one out of the Franklin County delegation of 13. There's two senators, 11 reps. One Democrat will be voting for Governor Shumlin, one independent has not said how she will be voting. The rest of us will be voting for Mr. Milne. Other than that, we have not gone around. We just say they have to vote their conscience, and I personally feel I'm there to represent my constituents, and my constituents voted overwhelmingly for Mr. Milne.
Do you think this is a good system?
Well, I think it's served the state, and for whatever reasons, our founding fathers, when they wrote the Constitution, put it in. Now times have changed naturally. I won't say it's unusual to have it go to the legislature, but these circumstances this year are somewhat unusual. I take a hard look at constitutional amendments. So is it the perfect system? No, I don't think so. But it has worked well over the course of history, and I feel that it will continue to work well.
Any other issues that Republicans are going to bring up we haven't talked about?
I think we got more or less. There will always be something, I'm sure, that will come up. Always, but we'll have to wait and see as the session moves forward.
Yeah, that's always a given, isn't it?
Right. Yes.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Well, thank you,
Representative Brian Savage. He is the House Assistant House Minority Leader. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush, and FM 96.1 broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush, AM 550 WDEV Waterbury Montpelier, and FM 96.5 in Barrie, you can find us, and 101.9 up in the Northeast Kingdom. A moment of your time for our friends at Greenmount and Access. Give them a call today for outstanding internet service, and you can reach them at 1-888-321-0815 and also on the web at gmavt.net. We're going to take a short break here. Governor Shumlin's going to join us here. He's going to tell us how to stay warm for the next couple of days. We'll take a quick break. We're not going to take our news here at the top of the hour. We'll be back right after this.
At Mooresville's newest store.